And good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. Good morning, listeners. Wonderful to have your company on Community Conversations on a Thursday morning. Wow, after a very cool night, only 1 degree overnight in the Yarra Valley. And I know all you vignerons out there were keeping your fingers crossed that we didn't have a frost, so we got very close to that. How are you tracking? Are you okay? It's been another tough week of lockdown for those of us in Victoria and New South Wales, and it's tough. It really is a tough time. So hope you're okay, and let's look after each other during that time. This morning, we have something special for you, and the theme for today is working or not working. Working or not working. We could approach that in a few different ways, but rather than hear from me, I've twisted the arms of a few amazing people to join us on a special working or not working panel. So here we go. I'm not going to give you all the full bios of these four people because otherwise we won't get to talk about work. But please welcome on Zoom, Lewis Williams, all the way from your suburb in New South Wales. I always forget, Lewis.
Castle Hill.
Just can't quite hear you there.
Castle Hill, Bruce.
And all the way from Ringwood, we have Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
G'day, Bruce. How are you?
Wonderful to have you with us. And all the way from Buxton, we have Megan.
Good morning, Bruce.
And
lovely to be here again.
Wonderful. And all the way from Healesville, just up the road, we have Kath. Hi, Kath.
Morning.
Fantastic. And we're going to dissect and, just bounce around a whole lot of considerations in relation to working and not working and, well, what makes for success at work and what happens when it goes wrong and all of those sorts of things. But let's get to know our panel a little bit. Without notice, let's ask each of them what their first job was. Let's start with you, Megan. What was your very first job way back when?
Well, I think my first job where I earned real money was over summer holidays where I went to my aunt and uncle's dairy farm and worked. I was about 15 years old and I mucked around in cow poo for about 2 months.
Well, that sounds very familiar to me. And my first job paid was cutting thistles on one of those farms, Megan, myself. Kath, what was your first job way back when?
It was a holiday job in a leather wallet and purse factory, and I had the intriguing job of hand painting the little edges on the pockets.
that's wow, yeah. Wow!
It made my decision to not do that.
we won't ask you what your hourly rate was way back then, but Lewis, what about you? What was the first job?
There was a summer job, Bruce, at Grace Brothers, known to Maya, as you fine folk, patrolling the men's change rooms. I'm making sure that people that took in one pair of jeans bought one pair of jeans back.
Right. Okay. We won't go there either, Lewis. Fantastic.
No, we'll just leave that alone.
And what about you, Cheryl?
Oh, gosh, my first job was in a little pharmacy in Alexandra just on weekends and school holidays. So, yep, going back a long time.
There you go. And so our four panellists who've kindly given their time this morning to join us, working or not working, where do we start? The workplace has changed enormously over the last 10 years, 20 years and so on. And look, a recent survey by LinkedIn said that 74% of people are rethinking their current work situation. Even more than that, a Gallup poll recently found that 48% of employees are actively searching for new work opportunities. Those are huge figures. We'll come back to those in a moment, but let's go to the workplace. Let's start with you, Lewis. What do you see as the changes, the most significant changes in the workplace over the last, say, let's pick a number, let's say the last 20 years?
I think over the last 20 years, Bruce, you've seen the trust level change, and I think the power, like, around the employer has increased. I think the employee has had less and less power over that time. That'd be my thought.
Hmm. Okay. What about you, Cheryl? You've been a CEO of hospitals, and you've been in significant leadership roles in the workplace. What changes have you been a part of or seen over those, say, 20 years?
I'd say the corporatisation of health, to be honest, Bruce. I think that, you know, there's been a real shift and a real focus on the business as opposed to actually what the business is about, which is health. So it's just an interesting shift. You need to have a balance. Sometimes it's not achieved.
Hmm. And Kath, recently retired, Kath, although I hesitate to use that word with you because I don't think you're either very retiring, nor have you retired. You just perhaps don't get paid for much of what you do now. But, Kath, what changes did you see over say, the last 20 years?
Well, I guess in the industry, I'd agree with both of those people. But in the industry, technology and social media and the impact that's had on the media has been huge.
Yes. Yes, it has. And we're going to talk about technology as well. Megan, finally yourself, what would be the big changes you'd put your finger on?
I think, like Kath said, you know, technology and what that's enabled us to do in terms of working remotely, I think that's a big thing that I've seen when I worked for the state government. It was quite unusual for any of us to be given permission to work from home. And if we did, we had to jump through all sorts of hoops. And certainly the technology in terms of the internet and remote server use wasn't what it is today. So I think particularly in the last 18 months, that's really obviously taken off. But even prior to that, I think it was starting. It was on a trajectory, and it's just gone through the roof in the last 18 months.
So many aspects to explore, listeners, and we're going to go down a whole lot of rabbit holes today. Talking about the workplace, but let's get into the mood, and I've selected some workplace or work-related songs. I'm going to kick off with Rick Vito. Let's get some work done.
Yeah.
Dan Yu with Bruce Argyle here for our regular weekly Community Conversations program. This morning, a very special panel of four talking work, working or not working. And on the panel this morning, I have four amazing people. I have Kath Ganaway, recently retired, although I do hesitate to use that word, a journalist, a community bank director, has amazing connections in the greater Yarra Valley community. Well, Kath, there are so many other areas here that you've been involved with and are involved in now. I'm not going to list them all, but great to have you on the panel this morning. Fantastic. Megan, well, Megan, you've been working in your own business, but before that you had a number of senior roles in government and non-government in community groups, including Rivers and Ranges, and you do a lot of work now with not-for-profits around strategy, governance and community building and all of that, and you work in your own business, so you bring a different perspective this morning as well. That's fantastic. Cheryl, thank you so much for stepping in at short notice this morning. Cheryl has managed a number of hospitals. Yes, that's right. Been the CEO of large hospitals, including most recently St. Vincent's in Queensland. She's been involved with the AIGC. That's the governance organisation, for those of you who don't know it. Now back from Queensland, living in East Ringwood, and currently a judge with the Telstra Best Business Awards, which is, I'm sure, a very interesting work, Cheryl. And we promise we won't twist your arm to tell us who's winning or losing or something like that. And finally, Lewis Williams, all the way from New South Wales. Lewis, I'm going to say Lewis was recently made redundant, but actually Lewis is one of the least redundant people that I know, if I could say that way, and has just recently founded a new enterprise entitled Cadence Leadership Advisory, and it's a leadership consulting business, which Lewis is going to focus on career and coaching and team leadership, organisational strategy and culture. And Lewis, we're going to hear a little bit about redundancy. I've been there myself. I know it's a tough journey, but we want to hear all about that, given you've had a strong background in commercial banking and corporates and also been a community bank director and so on. So that's our panel this morning. And where do we start? Well, we've found out the first jobs that we all had way back when. So let's just talk about technology for starters. Kath flagged a moment ago that there's been huge changes in technology. Have they been good? Have they been bad? What has been the impact? And Megan, we might, you're a bit of a social media whiz kid. What are those changes? And what have been the pluses and what have been the minus of that sort of technological, you know, change for us?
Well, it's funny, Bruce, that you say I'm a whiz kid because I'm actually probably much more of a Luddite.
I'm comparing you with myself, Megan, but go on.
Okay, fair enough. So I think for me, I came kicking and streaming into the computer age as the need arose. I'm not one to go out there and actively chase that sort of information, but I recognise that increasingly we need to be across that sort of stuff. And this is what I say to a lot of the community organisations that I work with. You really need to think about even things that, you know, 10 years ago, not every business or organisation had a website. Now it's almost mandatory. If you don't have some sort of a presence, then people don't take you seriously, even to the point where things like Facebook, which I think is becoming a bit passé in some quarters, but it's still... I've read something the other day that 70% of people will go to Facebook to see if you've got a Facebook page as a business or a community organisation, because that then builds trust in you as an organisation for them.
Wow, so that's where I'm slipping up, obviously, Megan. I haven't got a Facebook page.
Yeah, so as much as we might, I know I certainly know in the last 6 months I've tried to step away from being quite so hooked into social media, but... you know, the marketing people that I talk to are saying, no, sorry, you need to keep that up. You need to be posting. You need to be consistent, whether consistent means daily or weekly or even monthly for your organisation. Whatever you do, do it consistently. So it creates a platform that people can engage with you and interact with you. So I think that, you know, there's some messages in that. Certainly for me, there was.
and Kath, you've been a recently retired, very experienced journalist, writer. You've seen enormous changes in print media, in the way that news and stories are brought to us. What have been the pluses of that, and what have been the downsides of that, do you think?
I think the pluses and the downsides are the same thing in a way. It's the immediacy and what's expected of news organisations to put things up immediately. And if I go back to when I started, we had a whole week to hone a story, to get it out for a particular paper on a Monday. So you had time to do research, to check sources, to get the story right, basically. And then fast forward to, 10 years ago, we all went up on Facebook and things like that. It was get this up now. We'll check the details later. It was a very, very sharp bend for me. And not so much for the younger journalists that came in, the cadets loved that aspect. But in a small community, I think there's a big responsibility to get things right. And that's the same with bigger organisations.
Let's open that up to any of the panel. What have been the impacts of these things that Kath is highlighting? What have been the impacts on the individual worker, the person who has to meet those sorts of deadlines or has to work differently because of those technological changes? Any thoughts from anyone?
I guess, Bruce, if I think about health, the advances in technology have been remarkable, and we're seeing a real shift to home care as a result of people being able to be monitored remotely. So that's a significant benefit to the community, I think, moving forward. I think on the social media side, I sit to the side of that. However, I think the challenge is to make sure that the right information's going out, and certainly not some of the negative stuff that isn't correct. Would be my comment.
Yeah, no, thanks, Cheryl. And Lewis?
Yeah, I would say that having the technology has allowed people to keep working. And I think back to, when COVID first began, when I was in my banking days, we could just basically switch over. We were already working from home a few days a week anyway, so we could just keep supporting customers through that. So I think that was a positive. I think the negative of it, of course, is the fact it's so addictive, and people finding it hard to really turn their working day off now, and burnout factor. So I think that's a lot of self-discipline needed to combat the latter there, I think.
You shared an article with me last night, Lewis, around this whole workplace situation and how, how dissatisfied many people are in the modern workplace. Do you want to just share a couple of thoughts with our listeners around that?
I think it's been coming for a while. I mean, you talked about the last 20 years. I think I spoke about power base and that sort of thing. I think companies have been doing more with less for a long time, and I think post the GFC especially, the last 10 years, people have just been losing staff and not getting help from it. And I think it's all built up, and then you've got, leadership quality is pretty mixed. There's some great bosses, there's some not very good bosses as well, doesn't help. Plus also the fact being at home now, people have seen how it can work for them, and this is sort of giving them the time and space to think, maybe I could do something a little bit differently and structure my life differently.
There you go.
And they're actually acting on it now.
Yeah, good on you, Lewis. Let's explore that a little bit more in a moment, because things do go wrong in the workplace, and those of us who have been made redundant or lost jobs or been restructured or whatever we want to call it, these things happen as well, and that's another journey. And let's explore a little bit more, but let's have a listen to good old Alison Durbin, Working on a Groovy Thing. And after 11 o'clock this morning, we have the amazing Cora Zon hosting Art Journal. She's going to be talking about the Willem Bick exhibition that is currently at Tarawarra Museum, just a reawaiting opening so we can actually go and see it. And the show is going to be the Woiwurrung language, Willem Bick, which of course means home country. Did you know that? Willem Bick. And that's at 11 o'clock this morning. And then following that at 12 noon, Zine with Luke Sinclair and Thomas Blatchford. And the topic today is going to be music by zine makers and music about zines. So there you go. For those of you who are into your music and want to know how they fit in with zines, and maybe some of you don't even know what a zine is, you better listen in at 12 noon today. This morning, we're having a look at we're having a look at work, working or not working, which bits are working, which bits are not working. And I have an amazing panel, Lewis, Kath, Megan and Cheryl, and all coming today with different perspectives on the workplace. Yes, good and bad. It's certainly changed, hasn't it? And on the panel this morning, we have people who have worked in a corporate context, who have worked for not-for-profits, who have worked as a sole proprietor, establishing their own business and even working across more than one workplace. That's a challenge. I have done that once too. But let's talk about a couple of the challenges of things that go wrong. Let's start with, what would you suggest any of you on the panel some of the best supports, the best go-to or the best what do you do when things go wrong scenarios in the workplace? Megan, what about you? You've worked for government and non-government. You've worked on your own. You've worked across workplaces. What do you do when things go wrong? Where do we go? What do we do?
Well, I think the thing that comes to mind for me when you ask that question is a time when I had a perfectly good job working for state government down in the city and decided to take the plunge into the great unknown and go and work for myself in a consultancy role. And I guess that was prompted by, you know, pretty intense dissatisfaction in the workplace. I'd just come out the other side of my Black Saturday experience and came out of that feeling, well, if I can get through that, I can do anything. So jumping off a precipice into working for myself didn't seem that scary in some ways, but in other ways it seemed very scary. And I think what got me through and supported me to do that was networking with people, talking with other people who've done similar things, just reaching out to all and everybody who I knew and just getting ideas, talking to people about different experiences and learning from that and help using that as something to help me move forward and really examine, well, what have I got to offer the world? What can I take out there? How can I add value? How can I connect with people or connect people with information?
Fantastic. Cheryl, you've been a CEO of very large health organisations, hospitals, with thousands of employees. What advice, what thoughts do you have in relation to, you know, when things go wrong situation in the workplace?
Yeah, well, of course, things going wrong in health can be quite catastrophic. So we aim not to have things go wrong. But if I take it down to the worker level, Bruce, then I would suggest that it's things like what impacts the staff member and what is actually causing maybe something to go wrong. And there are many a story that I could perhaps relate to where staff have had, you know, a significant issue, probably at home, that's causing them to have an issue, you know, within the workforce. So I guess as a leader, under that scenario, that's where we play a key role in being able to support those people, making sure that they can do their job, you know, at the right level. So, yeah, things going wrong in health, they do go wrong in health at times. We aim not to, with lots of policy, procedure, etc. But, you know, I guess my concern is more for the person.
Thank you.
And our people.
Fantastic. And Lewis, Megan mentioned the importance of networking and interacting, and I know that's something that you're very passionate about. Do you want to just share how that's worked in your workplaces?
Well, I think networking has sometimes quite a negative connotation, but I think quiet people can be really effective networkers. In fact, often they are better networkers because the conversations they have are much more real. And just by having, like, we're actually networking now, you know. So I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, terrific. And finally, yourself, Kath, when things go wrong, I'm sure you have seen things go wrong, and your thoughts about that?
I think probably colleagues, without putting the other people at risk in that role, but colleagues are always, I've always had supportive colleagues and found that very useful, and just close friends and family if things are getting really difficult at a personal level, I guess, in an organisation. I don't think you can always go to management because sometimes they're the problem. But other than that, just people you trust, I guess, which comes down to those three groups.
Fantastic. Lewis, we mentioned on the introduction that you have been down the route of losing your job, and I recall years ago being faced with that myself in a role that I was in. That's a tough journey. For people who might be listening this morning who, because of COVID or anything else, have lost their job or have been made redundant, have been retrenched, have been cost-cutted or whatever call it, your thoughts, share a little bit of your journey. It's unfortunately a recent one, Lewis, so yeah.
Look, it is. I think breathe and don't overstress is the thing I would say. I think it's very easy to sort of think I've got to get a new job and start applying straight away for roles. I think if you can take your time and really plan what you want to do, that would be the best advice I could give anyone.
Mm. Cheryl, I'm not sure whether you've ever been made redundant. Possibly you haven't, but
No.
But you have undoubtedly had colleagues and others who have been there. Any insights that you'd like to share?
Oh, look, I guess from my perspective, Bruce, it's again about providing support where possible because, yes, there have been many changes over the last, you know, decade or two and many people are made redundant. But it's that journey that Lewis has already alluded to that is so tough. And, you know, we'd like to make sure that anybody that we knew was going in the right path, not sort of, as again, you know, Bruce spoke of, you know, randomly going for jobs rather than waiting until they get the right job and just enabling them to have the right support, you know, psychologically.
Fantastic. We're talking working or not working this morning and some of the amazing insights that you're hearing from Lewis, from Cheryl, from Megan and Kath. We're going to explore it further in a moment, but let's get into the mood. Who better than Jimmy Barnes and Working Class Man?
Yeah. Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Thanks for joining us this morning for Community Conversations. We're talking working or not working or something like that, or a combination thereof. And thanks for joining us, because we have a very special panel here this morning, Lewis, Cheryl, Megan and Kath, talking about some of the important issues around the workplace. And Kath was just saying, you were just saying off air, Kath, that you have a real passion for young people going into the workplace and some of the challenges and changes. And perhaps let's just focus on that for a moment, because it is a very different workplace that young people go into now than what we would have as young people back then. And work ethic has changed, and so much has changed. And Kath, are you concerned about the workplace for young people going into it now?
Yes, I am. I'm mostly concerned, I guess, about the casualisation and the lack of opportunity for people to get into a job, not necessarily a job for life. I don't think that's a necessary thing, but somewhere they can get some sort of security and then progress through the ranks. The casualisation, personally, I think is not a good thing. It's a good choice for some people, but not when it's imposed. So,
Cheryl, what advice would you give to a 20-something-year-old who is going into their first paid role, or you know, into the workplace, as Kath is outlining now? What advice would you give them?
Look, I think if I go straight to a nurse, for example, my advice to a young nurse would be to learn the skills of being a nurse before they try to advance into the more senior roles. Because I had a number of people, Bruce, in my lifetime that would say, Cheryl, I want to be in your job in 5 years. Well, you know, it took me a heck of a lot longer to get there. I'm quite sure. So I guess it's about expectation, Bruce, and encouraging them to really learn what their skills and what health is really all about before moving on. But also, you know, you need to encourage them, and you never dispel them. But it, again, getting that balance, I think, right.
Fantastic, Lewis. Your thoughts around you know, if you were talking to a 20-something-year-old right now going into the workplace.
Yeah, I think social and interpersonal skills are really critical, Bruce, and I think young people do interact differently to the way we did at that age. I'd also encourage them to seek out a workplace if there's some hybrid work where it's possible, because nothing beats that office environment where you do get to see how people interact. It's just critical skill. And I'm a fan of, you know, working from home and working in office, but if you miss that office opportunity, it's a real loss. So I'd really encourage as much networking and interaction as they can.
Megan, you've been a passionate advocate for mentors and people who through the community leadership Rivers and Ranges program and other areas. And what do you see as the role of a mentor or someone in the workplace?
It's funny you say that, Bruce, because you just read my mind. That was exactly what I was going to talk about. I think that mentoring is so important to give people someone to show them the way, someone who they can talk to about their ideas or problem solve with. I know if I think back over my career, I had some amazing bosses along the way who were mentors to me and, you know, encouraged me, supported me, opened up opportunities and pointed me in the direction of new opportunities, many of whom are still friends now years and years later. So I think, you know, mentoring and that idea of seeing someone who's doing what you want to do and doing it really well and, you know, using them as a role model. They talk about in neuro-linguistic programming, if anyone's ever read anything about NLP, that idea of modelling excellence. And I'm a real student and advocate of doing exactly that. Find someone who's working in the field you want to work in, doing it exceptionally well, and, you know, make them your mentor, your guide, create that relationship and that connection. And I think we need to maybe make that a bit more of our performance management and our professional development framework within organisations, that we set people up, we buddy them up with somebody who's a bit of a mentor when they come into the organisation, because it's better for them, it's better for the organisation, it's better for the people who we serve.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There's an old quote, isn't there, that says something like, happy is the man or woman who makes his hobby his work. I guess the thought behind that quote is that if you're doing something that you really enjoy, it's not really work at all. And so let's just reflect for a moment on the sense that, you know, the phrase that we used to use, I think, 20 years ago was job satisfaction, job fulfillment, people who enjoy their work. What are the determining criteria in terms of getting just that? Cheryl, we might go to you first. What do you see in people who are satisfied with their jobs, who are fulfilled in their work? What are the characteristics?
I think it's all about the culture, Bruce, and the environment within which they work. So their work colleagues, their immediate leader, their immediate boss, all play a part in how those people feel. One of the greatest, I think, achievements any leader can have is when someone says, I love coming to work, I really love my job. That's what work satisfaction is really all about. And it is about their day-to-day, how they're treated, how they feel, that they're contributing, that they're, you know, adding value and doing something really meaningful. In a supportive environment would be, you know, and I guess going back to that one word, culture.
Fantastic. Thanks, Cheryl. Kath or Lewis, your thoughts about job satisfaction?
I might jump in, Bruce. I think you can create your own job satisfaction. I think, and society's changed a bit. I think there was always the thing, you had one job, it was 40 hours a week, that's it. Well, that's now changed. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can create something more around that, portfolio careers, being on boards, doing voluntary stuff, mixing and matching, I think that's how job satisfaction really, really happens now. I mean, if you love your pay job, fantastic. But I think even in getting ready for redundancy or retirement, to have a plan and have some of those activities going is a real advantage.
Wow. And Kath, you've made that jump recently from paid work to retirement, but as I said on the introduction, you're far from retiring or retired because you're involved in so many things. How has that gone for you?
I love retirement. I think it's great. It gives you, I didn't realise, and I know everyone says this, I didn't realise how much, I don't know how you fitted paid work in with other things. But
everyone on the panel is laughing on that one, Kath. Go on.
I think the job satisfaction comes down to making a difference, and it doesn't matter in which way you do it. If you can make a difference, then you can work around the culture, I guess.
Terrific.
So if you can, yeah, just making a difference. And I think for young people, that's the challenge, that if they can come to that realization, and as Lewis said, whether it's paid or unpaid work.
Terrific.
That's where you're going to benefit, I think.
You're listening to Kath Ganaway. And Kath, thanks so much for your insights this morning. You've been listening also to Lewis Williams. And Lewis has recently established his own business, Cadence Leadership Advisory. You might check out his website, or I don't know whether you've got a Facebook page yet. It's on the way.
Ready.
It's on the way, Lewis.
Ready.
There you go.
On the way.
And also Megan Buntine from MJB Consulting. And you can check out Megan's website in terms of, well, a whole lot of stuff around community, workplace, not-for-profits, strategy and governance. And looking forward to that session we have at lunchtime today on that very thing too, Megan. And Cheryl Royal. Again, I hesitate to use the word retired, Cheryl, because you're far from retired, but your insights this morning, absolutely fantastic. We're going to come back, listeners, and wrap it all up in a little while, but let's have a listen to Dolly Parton, and, well, it had to be, didn't it? 9 to 5.
Bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind, and they never watch them shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll.
That was Dolly Parton, 9 to 5, and how appropriate talking about the workplace. But of course, as has been highlighted already by our panel, it's no longer the 9 to 5 workplace, nor is it the workplace, with many of us working from home, working across businesses, running our own businesses, doing things very differently to what we would have done, well, certainly 20 years ago, but in many cases, just 2 years ago, I would suggest. Yes, we could run a whole program on COVID, but I think most of us are probably sick of hearing so much about COVID. So let's just skip right around that one. Lewis, you've been in all sorts of workplaces. You've now embarked on that journey of setting up your own business, which is admirable. What do you remember about that journey that you would want to share with someone who might be listening this morning, that, you know, in terms of an insight or a thought or something that you'd want someone to take away as they think about work?
I think just remember to have fun. I mean, you know, you're in work a long time, so that's what I would say. Just enjoy it, even though it'll have bumps. Just enjoy it and learn as much as you can.
There you go. Fun along the way. That's great advice. Thanks, Lewis. Megan, you've also been in a range of positions, government, non-government, leadership roles, and now running your own business, a very successful governance and strategic planning and support for not-for-profits and community groups. Your journey, your thoughts as people who are also on workplace journeys.
There's a great book called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, and I think in some ways that's become my motto. I think in the areas of discomfort is where the greatest learning and growth and possibilities lie. So if you're prepared to just push the envelope a little bit, step a little bit outside of your comfort zone, it's amazing what's out there that you can get into. And it's about, I think for me at least, feeling that sense of, is it nerves, but turn it into excitement, turn it into, well, actually, wow, what's out there? What could I go and discover?
Wow. And for listeners this morning who may not know, an envelope is something you used to put a letter in. Cheryl, let's go to you. You've been in some amazing leadership roles as a CEO in the health sector, in hospitals. The insights you might share with someone listening this morning around a workplace journey, just anything by way of a final comment?
Look, follow your passion, follow your heart. And if you can't achieve your goals, then yes, look to where you can go. But seek to resolve some of those issues first if you can.
Fantastic. And finally, Kath. Wow, Kath, you have so many insights. I always enjoy listening to you or whatever panel or interaction we have. What thoughts would you have for a 21-year-old or a 61-year-old in relation to work?
I think I'd say just be brave, because I feel that I never was brave. I was happy with what I did and what I've done, but I'm a bit of a security freak. and that's genetic, which I'm grateful for. but I just look with admiration at the many cadets we had through my where I work, which was a newspaper office. They're fantastic people, real passion for what they were doing, but they weren't scared to move on, and taking that leap was sometimes very big because there's not a lot of work around for journalists.
Fantastic.
So I admire them enormously.
Fantastic. And listeners, we are out of time this morning, so can I, on your behalf, just thank Cheryl Royal, Megan Buntine, Lewis Williams and Kath Ganaway for your insights this morning. We could have talked for another hour easily. Thanks all of you for being a part of the program this morning.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks for having us along.
And listeners, if you missed part of the program or you want to listen to it again or share it with someone else, it will be podcast here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1 next week. Thanks very much, Greg, and look forward to your company again very soon.